All right, I will say good morning. A lot to do today, so let's get started. Our share this morning is dedicated by Mayor and Adina Schwartzbaum in commemoration of the architect of Adina's grandfather, Shmuel Binyamin Zev Halevi, Zichron Livracha, also by O. Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe, Zichron Livracha, and all of the mourning for the month of Elul. Is dedicated by Benny Goldberg, memory of his parents, Avram and Asher Pinchas, Figueres Bas Zelig, and the hope that all of the suburban mishpacha had their tfilos over answered over the Yamim Noroim. A yashikach to all of our sponsors and a great thank you. Rabosei, with that, let's begin our last daf of Meseches Krisos. Let's go. So it's our last daf and a half, actually, if we want to be appropriate. So it says the Gemara, Rabosei, so we are picking up. First, second, Y, line Chav Zayin Amud Beis. A lot to do today. 27b. Our daf today is Chav Ches, but it's going to go quickly. Yochel, Lo Yetzir Rabos. Remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to the concept, ultimately again, of going ahead and repurposing chatos, right? And ultimately again, so you can't use a son can't use his father's chatos, but even more than that, once a chatos has been designated for a particular avera, you may not go ahead and use it for a different avera, or even the same avera committed at a different time. So the Gemara is just going through a variation of a number of these cases. I might have thought that I can't use bebehema shefesh liatzma afilo min akala ala kala o min hachamura ala chamura. So I'll say I might have thought, or I would have thought, that if I separated at a chatos for an avera kala, lighter avera, right, that I can't use that chatos for another avera kala, or for a chamura on the chamura, shekenin hifrish behema alachela bevi aladam, aladam bevi alachela, shahari lo ma'avolo keeper. I will say, for example, let's say I went ahead and I set aside a chatos because I ate chelev, and then I also ate dam. So I say, you know what, let me use the chatos for the dam instead of the chelev, or vice versa. Shahari lo ma'avolo keeper. We'll see what that phrase means in just a moment. For in such a case, one did not commit mi'ila, nor did one achieve kapara. So that case is asr, right? We already established that. Tanalocha lemaisa, you can't take a chatos and repurpose it for another avera, even if it's an avera of the same level of intensity, and even if it's the same exact avera, just committed twice. However, I might have thought the valyotzi b'maos shehefrish liatzmo minakala ala kala minachamura ala chamura o minachamura ala kala o minakala ala chamura. But also, when it comes to money, if I set aside money for a chatos, I didn't set aside a chatos right now. I just set aside money for the chatos. So I would have thought that I could use that money, minakala alakala, from one avera kala to another avera kala, or from an avera chamura to another avera chamura. Or I will say, for that matter, even from different forms of averos. If I set aside money for a chatos for a chamura, I could use it for a kala, or vice versa. Why? Shekinim hifrish li atzma ma'os ala chelev, ve'vien ala dam ve'vien ala chelev, shari ma'al v'kiper. So also, because after all, if you were to misappropriate money, you set aside for kavanic purposes, and I were to use that money for something else, what would be the halacha? I will have committed mi'ilah, but I also will have achieved kapara. Talmud lomar karbono al chatoso, achiye karbono l'shem chato. So therefore the Gemara says, both when it comes to animals, as well as when it comes to money, once the chatos has been set aside for a particular infraction, it may not be used for another infraction. Once the money for the chatos has been set aside for a particular chatos, that money may not be repurposed for a different chatos. Milo ma'avolo keeper. What's the meaning of the phrase? He did not commit mila. He didn't achieve kapara. Tirgamor of Shmuel bar Simi kamed rapapachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Kevan delo matzi ma'el kapuri nami lo mechaper. So what we assume it means is as follows. Since he did not commit mila, therefore again halacha lemaisa, kapara was not achieved as well. So we'll say the assumption is that mila and kapara are two sides of the same coin. Where there is mi'ila, then ultimately, again, kapara is achieved. Where there is no mi'ila, kapara is not achieved. Ho'il v'kach lo matzi mishani. Therefore, again, I will say, therefore, because of that, you cannot switch the animal from one designation to another. Ava ma'os, Kevan di mishani ma'el. But also, when it comes to money, since halacha lamaisa, if you were to go out and switch its designation, you would commit meila umaisi carbon meila ema betchila nami maisi. I might have thought, therefore, the chatchila should even be permitted to repurpose money. Therefore, again, kamashon that that is not the case. So we'll say, so bottom line from the sugya halacha lamaisa, what comes out is neither money nor animals may be repurposed. So once animals is set aside for achatos, you can't repurpose it, even for your own other avera, even if you committed the same avera again, and same halacha with money. Says the Mishnah, mevi'en mehekdish kisba sira. So we'll say the halacha is that if you went ahead and you set aside and you had to bring a carbon, and the carbon you had to bring was a kispa, a lamb. You could decide to bring a seer instead of a kis. You could decide to bring a seer. A seer is a kid, right? Literally, you could decide to bring a kid instead of a lamb. Mehegdish seer a kispa. So again, I will say, if you had originally planned to bring a lamb, you could also go ahead and bring. If you were going to bring a kid, you could bring a lamb. So what the Mishnah is teaching me is that lambs and kids are interchangeable. So we're going to see what this means. And if halacha lamaisa, again, you had been obligated to bring a lamb, so the halacha is you could also bring, or a lamb or a kid, you could bring torin or b'nei yonah. So remember again, torin are turtle doves, b'nei yonah are pigeons. And halacha lamaisa, again, if you're going to bring torin and b'nei yonah, you can also bring asira seifa, which is the lowest form of carbon. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, mevi'en mehekdish kispa sira. All of these cases are hifrish ma'os liknos kispa sira lachataso imratza yikach mehen sira. Fine. So ketzad, so we'll say, what's the case? Ketzad, hifrish lekispa lesira. So we'll say, if a person set aside money to purchase a lamb or a kid, ha'ani, and then he became poor, what's the halacha? Yavi of. Ultimately, again, he could go ahead and bring a bird instead. So we'll say, so now, originally, I had set aside to go ahead and purchase the lamb or the kid, and my financial status changed. If my financial status changed, then halacha lamaisa, I could bring the bird instead. Ha'ani, if I became more poor, yavi asira seifa, I could bring even the meal offering, even a lower carbon. Hefrish la'asira seifa, similarly, again, if I set aside money to purchase an asira seifa, which is the lowest form of carbon here, ha'asher, and then I became rich, yavi of. I could bring a bird, right? In other words, if my status changes, I up my carbon. He'ashir, if I became even wealthier, yavi kispo sira, I could bring a kesev and a seer. Good, says the Gemara. Min hanimili, from where do I know this? The Tan Rabbana, mechatoso, mechatoso, al chatoso. So the Torah repeats the same phrase a number of times. This is all, of course, by a carbon ola v'yoreit. So what does this teach us? Matam olomar, minayin ato omer shemevin mehekdish kispo sira. Omehekdish seira kispa, omehekdish kispa usiira torim ubineyona, omehekdish torim ubineyona asira saifa. So I say, how do I know that under certain circumstances these carbonos ultimately again are interchangeable? To which the Gemara said, well, when would you have a case of carbonic interchangeability? I'll tell you when. Ketzad, hifrish le kisba ule seira, person set aside money for a kesev or a seir. Ve'ani, then he became poor. Of, yavi of, he brings a bird. Ha'ani becomes even poorer. Yavi asira seifa. Hifrish asira seifa ve'heshir. If he had originally separated money for the asira seifa, then he became wealthy. Yavi of, he'll bring a bird. Ha'ashir, yavi kisba, he'll bring a seira. Hifrish kisba seira. So therefore again, the Torah teaches me that in the context of a carbon olevio, right, which is brought for certain infractions, even if I originally set aside money for X, for one type of carbon, but then subsequently before the purchase, my financial circumstances change, so what's the halacha? My carbon changes as well. This is true if I go from wealth to poverty, as well as from poverty to wealth. Listen to this next case. Hifrish kisba usira ubinistabu. What happens if I separate it out? A lamb or a kid, and then they develop a mum. So what's talocha? Imratza yavi bidamea of. So ultimately, again, you can take the money now. So we'll say, obviously, you can't bring it with a blemish. So you could take the money, you could bring a bird. Hifrish of vinistav. But alocha lamai say, if I separate out a bird, if I purchase the bird, and it developed a mum, lo yavi bidama vasira saifa. Ultimately, again, you can't use the money to bring the asira seifa, to bring the flour equivalent of a carbon olavio, right? She'in la'of pidyon. Ultimately, again, because an oaf, a bird, does not have pinyon, cannot be redeemed for something else. L'chei ne'emar mechataso al chataso. Fine. V'itzrich l'michtov mechataso gabi kisbov sira. V'itzrich l'michtov gabi of. And of course, I need to write al chataso by all of these different cases. Why? Dikasev kra gabi hekdish kisbo gabi hekdish kisbov sira. Because it was so ultimately, again, if it would have just said mechataso by kisba sira havamina hifrish kisba kimeani mehalen maos nachalinon alof. Because I would have thought that what? That ultimately, if a person went ahead and actively separated out a kesef or a seer, when he becomes poor, he can then go ahead and what? Redeem that animal on an oaf. Then I see oaf. And he could then bring the bird. Why? Because the common denominator between a kesev and an oaf is both have blood applications on them. Is beach. When it comes to asir seifa, which of course does not have a blood application, because remember again it's a meal offering. Ilo kasev kra mechataso gabe ov. Had it not said mechataso by a bird, hava mina ki mafish mos lekino ume ani. I might have thought that when he separates money for his bird offering and then he becomes poor, lo maisi asir seifa, he should not bring the asir seifa. Why? The lav mina damim hu ella maisi asir seifa min beisay. So we'll say if he becomes impoverished, he can't use the bird money to purchase the asir seifa. Instead, what does he do? He uses money from his wallet, additional monies, to purchase the asir seifa v'halein mos, and the money from the bird redemption. Dafresh yiplu l'nedava, aha chi hader kra ksiv kra umechataso gabe of lememra deme hekdish deme of nami maisi asir seifa. Therefore, both say the pasuk teaches me chataso. Ultimately, again, by of to teach me that halacha lemaisa, for some reason the of can't be brought; it can be redeemed, and its money is used to purchase asir seifa. Vachi kama. This is what it means to say kimafresh la asir seifa. When a person ultimately separated out money for asir seifa, va'ademaisi. And before he brought it, before he brought the Asira Seifa, he Ashir, so we'll say, I separated that money from Asira Seifa. Then Baruch Hashem, I became wealthier. I didn't purchase it yet, I just separated out the money. No Seifa, I even I see off, add on to those monies and bring a bird. He Ashir, if I become even wealthier. No Seifa, I even I see Kispa, add on to the money. This is all assuming I haven't yet bought the animal. Add on to the money and bring a Kesev or a Seir. Umay time a Ksiv al Chata so. Gabi asir seifa. Why does it say chataso be asir seifa? Di iksiv al chataso gabe of hava amina ki mafrish maos lekino. Because we'll say, would have just said al chataso by of. I would have thought as follows: when a person separates out money for his border offering beha asher and then becomes wealthy, who demosif alehen umaisi kispa osira de tarvai mine damim ninu. So we'll say, if I separate out money for the bird, and but yet I became wealthy, so I add on. That's when I add on money in order to purchase from the kesev or the seer. Why? Because there's a commonality between them because they both have blood applications. Aval hifrish maos la asira saifa ve asher. But if I separate out money for the asir seifa, then I became wealthier. Ilo hasher tuva naisi of vim hasher tuva naisi kispa osira v'halein maos da'afresh yiplu l'nedava. I am at a thought, Rabbi said, that when it comes to asira seifa, because it doesn't have blood applications, if I can't use that money for any higher level carbon. So if it turns out that indeed I did become wealthier, that money goes to nedava, but ultimately again, the money from the asira seifa goes for nedava, and new monies are used to buy the kesev of the seer. L'achi ksiv kra b'hadein chatos b'ashiros v'dalos mechatoso. The gabe dali dalos al chataso lemedrash kedamir. And therefore, Rabosai, the Torah employs the lashon of al chataso by each of the different karbanos to teach you that halacha lemaisa, if money was set aside for any of these karbanos, and then your circumstances, your financial circumstances change, halacha is what? Your karban changes in accordance with your circumstances. This applies to all three forms of karbanos, whether it's a kesev, whether it's a lamb or a kid, whether it is birds, or whether it is asir seifa. Good. Amar Belazar, Amar Belshia. Mitami mikdash asher shefrish kan. So let's listen to this case. A person who is wealthy went into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. Okay, obviously you have to bring a karban ol levi yorid for that. Shehefrish kan, tap of chavches. likiv saso. So we'll say, now watch this. Now such a person, if you're wealthy and you're tamei, right? If you're wealthy and you're tamei and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, so what's the halacha? You have to bring a carbon olavi already, which is a carbon that's the carbon we're discussing. Depends on your financial circumstances. So if you're wealthy, you would have to bring a kesev, a lamb, right? A lamb or a kid. In this case over here, the rich man separated out birds. He designated birds. He was going to bring a poorer man's offering. Right? So what's the halacha? Now we'll say, now in this case, v'ha'ani. This is very interesting. Now what happened? So he shouldn't have separated out birds. He should have separated out a keves. But amazingly enough, before he had an opportunity to go ahead and offer it, what occurs? He becomes poor. So we'll say, now technically speaking, where he's holding right now, this is the appropriate carbon. So at the time that he went ahead and he separated it, it was not the appropriate carbon, but now that he's getting ready to offer it, it is the appropriate carbon. So what's the halacha? To which the Gemara says, Hol benitcha yitcha. So we'll say, halacha, so the Gemara, the Gemara is suggesting over here, Hol benitcha yitcha means what? Once the carbon was set aside for non-use, it never becomes usable, which means, since he did something wrong by going ahead and originally separating out the bird pair, and when he was wealthy, the bird pair was not appropriate, it could not be used, even though now his circumstances changed, the bird pair does not become usable. Ho'il benitcha nitcha. Once something has been set aside for sacrificial non-use, it does not become usable just because circumstances change. Amrav v'nebreid Rav Yoshua, Shema min atlas. We learn three things from here. Number one, Shema min abali chayim nitchin. Number one, that animals can be set aside for non-karbonic use. Number two, ukidushas damim nitcha. Something that has monetary sanctity has the ability to go ahead and be set aside for non-use. And something Rabbosai that is set aside from non-use from the beginning is also subject to dichui. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Shmamina dichui meikara, delonira meolam, delochalav kidushas mizbeach meolam, vinitcha, have a dichui liolam. So we'll say something that was set, never had a moment where it was permitted for use. Rather, it was set aside for non-use from the beginning. Halach Lamai says, forever set aside. Masir Rav Okva Bar Chama. One second, let's analyze this. Hamafresh Nekeva Lepisco. Let's listen to this case. Person separates out a female animal for his Karban Pesach. Kodim HaPesach. So we'll say, so now, remember what's the halacha? You can't use a female animal for Karban Pesach, right? Karban Pesach is a male animal within a year. So now I set aside a female animal. That's not good for Pesach. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so Hamafresh Nekeva Lepisco. Kodim HaPesach. Tira achetistaiv vitimaker. So we'll say, what do? You have to let the animal graze. Let the animal graze until it develops a mum, then sell it, viyavi bidame hapesach, and then you could use the proceeds of that sale to purchase a real carbon pesach. Yol de zacher. What happens again if my quote unquote female carbon pesach gave birth to a boy? What's the halacha? Yira achetistaiv vimacher viyavi bidame hapesach. So what do? Apparently that animal is not usable as well. Right? And halacha l'maaseh, what do? You let it graze and it develops a mum, sell it off, and you can use the proceeds ultimately to go ahead and purchase a Karban Pesach. I will say, why is the male offspring of the female Karban Pesach not fit for use as a Karban Pesach? So Rashi points out over here, because the mikoach kedusha dechuya ba, since this offspring is the offspring of an animal that was not unfit, or it was unfit for sacrificial use, therefore the offspring becomes unfit for sacrificial use as well. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Reb Shimon Omer hu atzmo yikra pesach. Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says, no, halacha lemaisa, the zohar, the male offspring of the unfit female carbon pesach, itself can be used for Karban Pesach. So Shema Minar, what do we see from here? Ba'ali Chayim Inam Nidchim. So what you see from here is that what? Is that animals are not set aside for sacrificial non-use. Which means what? Even though this Zohar, this male offspring, is coming from what? An animal which was sacrificially unfit. We don't say that just because an animal comes from something unfit or once was unfit, that it forever remains unfit. To which the Gemara Sabo says, as a contradiction, Amri de Be Rabboshia, Ki Amrinan L'Rabbanan. ultimately, again, when was this statement said? This statement was said in accordance with the position of the Rabbanon. The Rabbi Shimon Svir Le Bali Chaim Eino Nitchin, because Rabbi Shimon in general himself holds that what? Bali Chaim, animals, are not permanently set aside for non-use, which means that even if you have a situation right now which renders the animal unfit for sacrificial use, if something changes, the animal can become refit for sacrificial use. That's Rabbi Shimon. And above Rabbi Shimon says something also that's amazing, which is the Hargala Eino Ma'akeves. The lottery by Yom Kippur is not ma'akev. So I'll say this is actually quite incredible. Look at Rashi. Shelo b'hargala, it's almost right across in Rashi. V'kariv zehanosar im shal shemu de'in bali chayim nitchin af agav da'avad ben gilo v'nitcha zechoze v'nir v'indichoy eitz bali chayim. So let's listen to this. So essentially what he says about b'hargala is like this. We know that on Yom Kippur you have the Shteyasim, the two goats, right? And they are, one is La Hashem, one is La Zaz. We spoke about this yesterday. The way you choose who gets to do what is how, a lottery. What, so Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Halacha Lemaisa, if you didn't do the lottery, and you just went ahead and, actually, let's see, the Gemara says, Desanya, I'm sorry, Meis Echa Mehen, we'll say, what's the Halacha? So, before you get to this, Rabbi Shimon holds that Halacha Lemaisa, if the Kohen just skipped the lottery, look, we're running late today, right, we're just going to skip the lottery, and you designated the animals, Rabbi Shimon says it works. It works, which is actually quite an amazing shita. Now, I will say, now the byproduct of that comes up in the following case. Let's say you did do the lottery, you designated both animals. Then what happens? Before they're offered, one of the animals dies, right? One of the animals dies. So I will say, so the shaila is what? Do you need to bring two more animals, do a new lottery, and then the shaila is what happens to the remaining animal? Rabbi Shimon says, you don't have to do that. You just bring a replacement animal for the one that died, and we're good to go. That's this case. Meis Echa Mehem, if one of the animals died, maybe Chaver Shalom Bahargala. You could bring a replacement animal without conducting a brand new lottery. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Alma Kasavar Ba'ali Chaim Eino Nitchin, Vahargala Eino Ma'akeves. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Halacha Maase in general, animals, even if they undergo some type of sacrificial bump, right? There's a bump in the sacrificial road, so they're momentarily or temporarily unfit. That's okay. If the circumstances change, halacha l'maisa, they become fit again. And Rabbi say that is indeed how the Rambam paskins that bali chayim einon nidachin. Now again, there are exceptions to this rule. But in general, we don't assume that just because a carbon is temporarily unfit, that it remains forever unfit. If it's rendered unfit because of certain circumstances, but those circumstances change, ultimately, again, the animal could become refit for sacrificial purpose again. And Rabbosai, we have to say, Baruch Hashem, that the Rambam paskins Ba'ali Chaim Einon Nidachin, because this has major ramifications for us as well. Because we also fall into the category of Ba'ali Chaim. And to think that once something suffers an imperfection, it is forever set aside for non-use. Could you imagine the hashkafic and halachic and spiritual ramifications that would have for us? Right? What that means is once you're imperfect for a moment, you are imperfect forever. But I sit here before you with good news. Ba'alei chayim eino nidachin. I will say there are moments of psul. There are moments when we are set aside for non-use. There are moments when we are pasul l'mizbeach, and it's difficult for us to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we change ourselves, and if we change our circumstances, and if we change sometimes a variety of different things within our lives, we have the ability to come back lifnei Hashem. Incredible. Amar Rav Chista, Ein akinin misparshos, ela iba lekichas bailim, iba asiyas kreis. Well, another interesting halacha. So bird pairs, remember again, let's see, when you're bringing bird pairs, usually one of them is for an ola, one of them is for a chatos. When do you decide which one is for which? So I'll say either again, but lekichas bailim. So lekichas bailim means the owner says, this one is for an ola, this one is for a chatas. Ibas yasa koin. Or when the koin himself is performing the avoda. If you look at Rashi says, Bas yas koin shim lo hifrishu ma'bailim b'shas lekicha. Yachala koin lasos ezesh yirtz ola v'chatas. So we'll say, sahalocha l'maisa, either the owner could designate them, what we call b'shas lekichas bailim at the time. We'll say, lav dafka, it's at the time that he purchases it, but it's at some time from the time that he purchased it until he gives it over to the koin. Or the Kohen, when he does the avoda, has the right to decide which one is an ola, which one is a chatos. On Rav Sivar Ashi, my time, Rav Chista, what's Rav Chista's logic? Dichsev v'lakcha shtei torim, v'asa ha-Kohen. Because most of the Torah uses two verbs. The lakha, the owner, will take two birds, or va'asakha, the kohen will perform, which teaches us that the bird designation as ola and chatos could be performed in one of two times. Either when the owner takes the birds, or ultimately, again, when the kohen performs the avoda, obulakichas bailim, either when the owner purchases them, o ba'asiyas kohen, or when the kohen does the avoda. Meisve, you're going to raise a kasha, va'asa chatos. So we'll say the pasuk says va'aso chatos, you will make it a chatos. So the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk. V'kriv aron asasir. This is by the goralos, right? This is by the lotteries. So by the shtei asirim va'aso chatos hagoralos echatos ve'in hashem osechatos ve'in hakohen osechatos. So we'll say, listen to this. So we see an exception to the rule of chista. You're telling me that in general, whenever you have pairs receive their respective identities either at the time that the owner purchases them, or at the time of the avoda. Yet it appears we have an exception to that rule, which is the shtei asirim, the two goats of Yom Kippur. When do they receive their identities? When do they receive their respective identities? At the time of the lottery. So I will say, ultimately, again, it's the lottery. It's the lottery. It's not calling them by name. It's not the avoda of the kohen. Sheyachov alo dinu, because I might have made a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Umay b'malkom shelo kidesh agorel kidesh Hashem. We'll say in places where you don't have a lottery, calling them by their respective karbanic names ultimately establishes identity. Makom shekidesh agorel ino din sheikadesh Hashem. A place where a gorel works, certainly designation by name should also work. Tamud lomar v'asal chatos. Therefore, the pasuk says, "You will make it a chatos." The goral makes it a chatos. Hagoral is a chatos. Vein Hashem is a chatos. The lottery makes it a chatos, but designation by name does not. Rabbi say, obviously, this is not like Rabbi Shimon that we just said before, right? Rabbi Shimon is an outlier shita. Rabbi Shimon holds that you do not need a goral by the shtei asirim by Yom Kippur, right? You could just designate them by name. This is not like Rabbi Shimon. So katani shem dumya de goral. So Rabbi say, we see that designating or calling them by name. I don't mean calling them by name that this is, this is Harry and this is Shirley, right? Calling them by name means right, by assigning their carbonic identities. So ultimately, in Katoni Shem Dumya de Goral, Ma Goral Av Belikicha, we'll say, just like by the Goral, ultimately, again, it's not at the time that the owner takes the carbon, V'Lav Basia, and not at the time, ultimately, again, that the Avoda is performed, Af Hashem Nami Lav Belikicha, V'Lav Basia. So too, ultimately, what? Calling it, I'm sorry, Af Hashem, so too, I will say, designating it, is not at the time of Lekicha, not at the time of Asiyah. Omarav, Hachikor, that's what it means to say. Umab makom shlo kidesh agorol belekichas, I'm sorry. Umab makom shlo kidesh agorol belekichas vailim, basiyas hakoen, kidesh Hashem. So we'll say, just like in a case, if you look at the letter Beis over here, he changes it. Sham, umab makom shlo kidesh agorol, vaafilu belekichas. Ibas yes coin, so let's listen to this. So the Gemara says, Mam Makom Shlo Kidesh HaGoral. If in a place where the Goral didn't in a place where the Goral did not work, which is other carbonos. So then the Bach changes that again. Sorry. Afilo Bilakichas Hashem, even with ultimately again, even with taking it, even designated at the time of Lakichas Bailim, Ubas Yas Agoin, Kidesh Hashem. So I will say, certainly in the case where the goral does work, shalo b'lekicha, v'shalo ba'asiyah, eno din shi'kadesh Hashem. So I will say, in a place where goral does work, where the designation doesn't take place at the time of lekicha, the designation doesn't take place at the time of asiyah, certainly again, kriyas shem, ascribing to it an identity should work. So we'll say Yom Kippur is going to be the outlier to this. And by Yom Kippur we'll say, Hagoral Osechatos Ve'en Hashem Osechatos. It is only the Goral, it is only the lottery that ultimately gives the animal its identity and nothing else. Meisve Mitame Mikdash Ani Shefesh Ma'os Likino Ve'Hashir. So we'll say, so let's go back for just a moment. Remember, this is the reverse of the case we saw before. Person enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. So you understand, we have Rav Chista's statement. Rav Chista's statement was that a bird pair can take on its identity either as an Olan and Chatas, either when the owner buys it, purchases it, and gives it an identity, or at the time that the coin offers it up. Those are the two moments in which a bird pair can achieve its identity. Yom Kippur, is a parsha b'fnei asmi. Yom Kippur is its own entity, and that the identity of the animals is ascribed to them only when? At the time of the Goral, according to Rabbi Reb Shimon. Now, what's the Gemara asks the Shaila? Mitami mikdash ani shefer shemaos lekino. So let's listen to this case. Someone walks into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. What happens if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah? What's your liability? Carbon olat viyoreit, right? The carbon that changes on your financial circumstances. So what happens? He's an ani. He's poor at the time that he commits the avera. He separates out money. Likino, he only could afford a bird offering. So he separates out money for his bird. Ve'ashir, then he becomes wealthy. Ve'achar kach, amar elu l'chatasi ve'elu l'olasi. And then he will say, so after he went ahead and he separated out his bird pair, he became wealthy. Then Rabbi Yosei bought his birds, and he said, this will be for my chatos, this will be for my ola. Mosif umevi chovasa midmei chataso, ve'in mosif umevi chovasa midmei olasa. So Rabbi Yosei, what does he do? He adds on to the value of his chatos, and brings ultimately again a more expensive carbon, but he doesn't add on to the value of his ola. Now if you look at Rashi, Rabbi Yosei, we're in the first wide line, chav ches amud aleph. If you look at Rashi on the left hand side, Rashi says, mosif ma'os mi beiso al dmei chatos, umevi chavasa behema udme ola yelchu l'nedava. So we'll say, what he, now he's wealthy. So what does he have to do? He has to add on more money to the value of his chatas. He can't bring a bird. Instead, he's going to bring an animal. And the value of the ola ultimately, again, will just go to nedava. Vahahacha delekalo l'ki chavalo asiya. And we'll say, now in this case over here, he's designating these birds when? Not at the time that he's purchasing them, nor at the time that the carbon is being offered or being performed. Vekatani maybe chavasa midmei chatas. So v'lo midmei olaso. Rav Sheshes, v'tizbara masnisa mitakanti, to which Rav Sheshes says, why do you automatically assume that the version that the Mishnah is espousing over here is correct? Diktani v'he'eshir v'achakach amar. It says he became wealthy, and then he said, or as well say, the order over here is actually quite interesting, because we would have thought that ultimately, again, he bought this bird pair before he even became wealthy. V'amar lezer roshia, metami mikdash ashir, shehevi karban ani, lo yatsa. But furthermore, Rav Lezer roshia, a person goes ahead and enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, and he's wealthy. But he went ahead and he brought the carbon of a poor person. Either what? Either birds or asira seifa. Lo yatsa. He's not yotze. Ela ma is the cholameimar. So we'll say, what would you have to say over here? Shekvar amar mishas ani yuso. It must have been that he designated the birds while he was still poor. Hachanami shekvar amar mishas hefrashaso. That ultimately, again, it was in the previous case, it must be that halacha lamaisa, he went ahead and he designated the respective birds at the time that he separated them. So we'll say, remember, we're just trying to make the cases fit with the sheet of Rav Chista, who happens to hold that halacha lemaisa, the designation ultimately of the birds as a chatas and an ola takes place at one of two times. Either b'shas hafrasha or b'shas lekicha, when the owner purchases them, or b'shas asi, when the kohen performs them. V'l'rab chaga, amra b'oshia, d'amra yotza, ma'ik l'mir. According to Rav Chaga, b'oshia, it says that you are yotze. What is there to say? Tani v'achra kach lakach v'amar. You'd have to say then, you'd have to reverse story. You'd have to say, then he purchased and designated. And therefore, again, the b'risa would line up with the position of Rav Chista, that designation could take place at the time that the owner takes possession of the birds. Nesve, mitzora on shady carbon ashir. Another kasha will say, if you have a mitzora ani, a poor mitzora, right? Meaning an impoverished mitzora, right? Ultimately, who brought a carbon ashir, who decided to bring a wealthy man's offering, yatsa. Ultimately, again, he's yotze. So we'll say, if you bring it, apparently what the Bryce is saying is what? If you bring a carbon above your pay grade, halacha l'maaser yotze. Asher shevi carbon ani, lo yotza. But if an asher went ahead and brought a carbon ani, you're not yotze. To yufta d'rav chaga, amra boshia. So we'll say, this would seem to refute Rav Chaga Bar Oshia, who seemed to indicate that even if an Asher brought a carbon on, he would be Yotze. Amar Lecha Shaini Gavi Mitzora Derachmana Miet Zos. It could be that Mitzora is different. That Halacha Lamaisa, again, so Mitzora, Rashi says, Zos Tia Toras HaMitzora, Toras Mashma Torah Achas Lekulon. So we'll say, ultimately, so Rav Chaga Bar Oshia would say, Mitzora is different. Mitzora is the exception. Iyache Efilu Mitzora Ani Nami Shevi Carbon Asher Lo Yatza. If that's the case, so we'll say, it could be, because since Mitzora, Rav Chaga is darshaning that by Mitzora it says Zos. And what does Zos mean? Zos means the carbon has to be brought this way and no other way. That a Asher brings a carbon Asher, a Ani brings a carbon Ani. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then if a Metzora Ani brought a carbon Metzora Ashir, he also should not be Yotze, because he's not conforming with the dictates of Hilchos Metzora. So Loi, that would actually be true according to Rav Chaga Bar Oshia. Hadre Kra Toras, Hadre Kra Toras. Vatanya Toras, so we'll say, therefore, again, the Pasuk goes back and says, what? Toras again, but the second Toras ultimately teaches me that halacha l'maisa, ani who brings a carbon asher would still be yotze. I vatanya Toras l'rabos mitzora ani shehevi carbon asher yotze. But 1 second, we learned before that Toras comes to include even if a poor mitzora went ahead and brought a carbon asher that he would be yotze. Yochala filu asher shehevi carbon ani yotza. I might have thought that even if a rich mitzora brings the poor mitzora's carbon, that is yotze. Tamu lomar zos. There was the pasuk says zos, which tells you that there is a stricture, right? There is a guideline ultimately to bring in these kavanos v'leilef mine. Why do we learn that from this to other cases? Amakra v'imdalhu v'inyado maseges. Also the pasuk says if he is poor and cannot afford, this is where we give him the ability to bring a lower form carbon. Mitzora hu da ashir shevi carbon ani hu de lo yatsa. Also so therefore halacha l'maaseh teaches us that if the mitzora is rich and brings a poor man's carbon, that he is not yotze. Avamitame. Avamitame mikdash asher shevi carbon ani yatsa. So we'll say, but according to this model, this is only true for a mitzora. But at least according to Rav Chaga Bar Oshia, if someone is an asher and they went into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah and they ended up bringing a carbon ani halacha lemaisa, they will still be yotze. So we'll say so again. If we have time at the end of the Masechta, I'll come back and I'll give you some of these interesting halachos, because there's a variety of just fascinating halachos over here that we've seen. But let's first make sure that we get to the end. Mishnah. We'll say the last Mishnah, Maseches Krisos, and a beautiful, beautiful sugi we have ahead of us. Rav Shimon Omer, Kvasim Kolmin, Es Ha'izim B'chol Makom. So we'll say this is just a textual statement. Rav Shimon says, in general, in the Torah, you always find Kvasim coming before Izim. Generally, that's the way you have it, right? A keves, remember again, a keves is a lamb, an aes is a goat. So you just always find kvasim coming before izim in the Torah. Yachom im pnei sheim uvcharim hem. You might have thought that's because lambs are better than goats. Tamud lomar vim keves yavi karban al lechatos. Melamed sheshneim shkulim. So if the Rebbe said the pasuk goes out of its way, at least in one context, to mention keves by itself, to teach you that what? That halacha lemaisa, again, they're equal. They're equal, right? In other words, essentially, kvasim and izim are pretty much interchangeable. Don't take the order throughout the Torah to mean that kvasim are more important. Next, taran kol mivnei yona. Ultimately, I will say, often, turtle doves are mentioned before pigeons. B'chol makom. Yankom mivnei shem uvcharim. You and I thought that's because turtle doves are better than pigeons. Tamud lomar. Tor ubnei yona o tor lechatos malavish shen shkulim. Sefer Avos of the Torah in a couple of different places switches up the order to teach you that what, that they're equal. So Avos says this is just a textual statement. Ha'av kodim la'im b'chol makom. Avos says an incredible halacha: a father comes before a mother in all areas. What does that mean? So we'll say, so we'll define the parameters of this. If you take a look at Rashi, no, not yet. Actually, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see in the Mishnah. So what does that mean? Yochom ibnei shekiborav kodem al kiboraim. So I might have thought that's because honoring your father comes before honoring your mother. Tamud lomar ish imo v'aviv tiro. So therefore, we'll say the pasuk says that a man has to fear his mother and his father. So we'll say, even though it says kabides avicha ve'esimecha, you might have thought that a father comes before a mother. Therefore, again, the pasuk teaches elsewhere, puts mother first. Bayira ish imo va'aviv tira melamed sheshnein shkulin. Teaches us that a mother and father are equal. Aval, so we'll say, they're equal, but, right? Aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim did say, ha'av kodem la'im b'chom makom, mipnei shehu v'imo chayavin b'chvot aviv. So we'll say, but Chazal did say, that ultimately, again, a father comes before a mother. So we'll say, just to give, we saw this actually in Maseches Kiddushin, the paradigmatic example of this is, if your father and mother both ask you for something, who are you obligated to listen to first? So the halach is your father. Why? Because both the child and the mother are obligated in covet of the father. So therefore, again, on a simple level, so the father and mother ask the child, can you bring me a cup of tea? Both ask him at the same time. Who does he listen to? Halach, well, this is a loaded question, right? But ultimately, again, at least in the abstract halacha, who does he listen to? He listens to his father first, because both the mother and the child are obligated in the covet of the father. Shavuot say. So again, there's a lot of interesting shilas in general with this, and also the fact that father comes before mother in kavod. Right, mother comes before father in Yira. Remember again, that's also the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. A child more naturally honors his mother over his father. Therefore, the Torah places father first because that's the harder part, to honor my father. When it comes to Yira, a child is naturally has greater fear of his father than his mother. Therefore, the Torah places the mother first to impress upon us the need for Yira for the mother. So the Gemara Sevchim Talmud Torah Bosan Nikra Ba'alacha. Same thing applies to learning. Aim zacha haben lifnei harav, harav kodim es ha'av b'chol mokor. We'll say if a person has a rebbe, so a person's rebbe, right? I have to be mechabed my rebbe before my father. In other words, the respect I owe to my rebbe comes even before the respect I owe to my father. So we'll say again, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin explains why is that. My father brings me into this world, my rebbe brings me into Olam Haba. And because of that, ultimately, again, if there's a clash in the respect, I have to honor my Rebbe over my father. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. Because assuming my Rebbe is a Talmud Chacham, if my Rebbe is a Talmud Chacham, there is a din of kibbut Talmidei Chachamim. We'll say, we have to be mechabed, we have to give honor to Talmidei Chachamim. Remember again, this is based, the kavod of Talmidei Chachamim is based on the kavod that I have to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if there's a clash between kavod to my father and to my Rebbe wins out. Why? Because both myself and my father are obligated in kavod to my Rebbe. Good. Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, a beautiful, beautiful Gemara to end off the Masechta. Tana Rabbanan. Arba Tzvacho Tzavcha Azara. We'll say, the Beis HaMikdash cried out at four different times. Beis HaMikdash cried out. By the way, we're going to see the Gemara has absolutely nothing to do with the Mishnah. Nothing to do with it, right? Literally, we've been plotting for a Gemara like this throughout Christmas. So we'll say, Chazal always deliver. They always deliver. They delivered on the last Gemara. Listen to this. So four cries, the Beis HaMikdash cried out. Tzavcha Rishonah, we'll say, the first time Beis HaMikdash cried out was Hotzio Mikan Bnei Eli Chafni Upincha Shetimu Asahechal. The first time the Beis HaMikdash cried out, this was the Mishkan, is by Chafni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli. Chafni and Pinchas, sons of Eli, will say, were a bit, used their positions not in the right way. The literal pshat in the pasuk sounds like they committed adultery with women inside of the Mishkan itself and the precincts of the Mishkan. There are other interpretations of their sin, but Lamaisa, they abused their power. They abused their power. So the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan cried out, get them out of here. Tzavcha Shnia, I will say the second time the Beis HaMikdash cried out, was Pischu Sha'arim V'ikanes Yochanan Ben Nadboi Tamido Shal Pinkoi. The second time the Beis HaMikdash cried out, I will say, was open the gates and allow Yochanan Ben Nadboi. I will say, who is Yochanan Ben Nadboi? So I will say, Yochanan Ben Nadboi, the student of Pinkai, sounds like it's Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So also remember again, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was one of the longest serving Kohanim Gidolim. He served for 80 years. Nebuch, at the end of his life, he became a Baitusi. Right, he became a stuki, he became a tragic story. He literally became almost like a shtekalapi kores. So we'll say he became a stuki, but nevertheless, in the beginning of his life, he was incredibly righteous. And when he would come to the Beis HaMikdash would cry out, open the gates for Yochanan ben Nadboi, v'yimali kreis mekach shishan, and allow him to fill his stomach of the karbonos. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash was so happy to have him that the Beis HaMikdash said, let him come in and let him eat the karbonos. We'll say, watch this. Amra lava al ben Nadboi, because they said about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that apparently he had quite an appetite. She ochel arboim sa gozlos bikinuach. We'll say, he used to eat literally 40 sa. So we'll say, apparently a popular dessert was birds, roasted bird, was a dessert. There's nothing like meat for dessert, right? Poultry for dessert. So we'll say, so apparently, again, he used to eat 40 sa'a of birds for dessert. Now, obviously, this is a bit hyperbolic, but what it's saying is, he ate a lot of karbanos. Right? Amru kol yomav, let's listen to this. They said, all the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, lo hayu noser ba'azara. And we'll say, in all of his days, there were never any leftovers. That's a Kohen, right? No leftovers in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say, by the way, I want to point out, that's a good thing. Remember, we don't want no sir. We don't want no sir. Incredible. Tzavcha Shlishis, the third time the Beis HaMikdash cried out, Sushan Rashechem, V'ikanes Elishama Ben Piachi, Tamido Shal Pinchas, We'll say the third time the Beis HaMikdash called out was, again, in a good way. Remember, the first time it's not good. Get out Chafni and Pinchas. The second time it is good. Let in Yochanan Kohen Gadol. The third time it is good. Open up the gates and let Elishama ben Pichai enter in. So we'll say, the Hagos, it's even changes this to Yishmael. It's not Elishama, but rather, again, it's Yishmael. Who is this? Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Right, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol is one of the great tzaddikim, one of the great kohen gadolim. The Yishamish Pekahuna Gidola. Savcha Revius, the fourth time the Beis HaMikdash cried out was Pischu She'arim Vahotzio Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkoi Shemechabit Atzma Umevaze Kad Sheishoyen. So we'll say the fourth time the Beis HaMikdash cried out was, again, unfortunately, is a negative cry. Get Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkoi out. Why? Because ultimately, again, he is misusing and misappropriating Kachi Shrine the Karbana. So I'll say we don't know who this Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkoi was. And obviously he was someone ultimately, again, who was misusing his position as Kohen Gadol. My Hava Abid. So I'll say what did this man Yisachar do wrong? Abbas is amazing. What did he do wrong? Says the Gemara, Hava Karach Shirai Al Yadai. He would wrap silk around his hands. Vahava Abid Avoda. And he would do the Avoda. I will say, now remember again, this is not good. Why is this not good? Because a kohen is not permitted to do anything that is a chatzitza between his body and between the avoda. But he would wrap silk. Why would he wrap silk around his hands? He doesn't want to get dirty. But now I'm not going to wear gloves. I'm not going to wear gloves. I'm going to wear silk. So obviously he thought a lot of himself that he's going to put on silk. They will say, now watch this. So what happened to him? We'll say, get ready for this. This is incredible. Yanai malko machusa hava yasvin. So we'll say the king and queen. Yanai, the king Yanai, and this king Yanai was a Greek king. They were sitting, right? They were sitting, or he was appointed by the Greeks. They were sitting. He and his queen were sitting, and what happened? And they were having a dispute. What was the dispute? So Malka Amar Gad Yoyoy, Umalka Sa Amra Imra Yoy. The king said, "I think goat meat is better," and the queen said, "I think lamb meat is better," right? Amru Nishayle Li Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkoi. The Kohen Gadol. The Kim Le Kedera, so they said to him, who better to ask than the Kohen Gadol? Right, the Kohen Gadol eats plenty of meat, lambs, goats. He'll be able to tell us ultimately again which one is better. Amrale, so the Gemara says, Shailua, Amrale, Igad Yayoy, Yasek Litmida. So ultimately again, so Yisachar, the Kohen Gadol, says, listen, if it was true that a goat is better, the goat should be brought for the Tamid. The fact that a goat is not brought for carbon tamid, but a lamb is brought for carbon tamid, tells you what? Tells you that lamb is better. Now, I will say, mistake number one is never go against the king, right? You should have said, you know what? Truth is, my taste buds don't work, right? Right? Make something up. But the Maisi paskin against the king, right? Because the king was on team goat. Right, the king was on team goat. He went ahead and he said lamb is better. That was number one problem. Number two is what happened. Bahadi da Amar Achvi Biyadeh. And while he was doing this, apparently he was like waving his hand. Like he got very, people are passionate about all kinds of things. I will say, some people are very passionate about meat, right? For some reason. Right? So I will say, he's waving around, goat meat is clearly inferior. It is lamb meat that is superior. As he's waving around, what does the king see? The king sees the silk wrapped around his hand. Amar lahon malka hoil va'achvi biyadei kotzil yadei diyamine. So the king said, apparently Yisachar didn't just give the answer, but he gave the answer in a very gaivadic way. He was a balgaiva negative the king. The king said, you act with such gaiva, we're going to cut off your right hand. Se yoiv shochda katsua liyadei smalei. So Yisachar bribed the, not the executioner, what do you call the... the limb cutter offer. Thank you. Incredible. I'm happy you asked for help. Right, so he bribed the guy. It says cut off his left hand instead of his right hand. So I will say, fine, say cut off his left hand. Shama Malka, the king heard about this, and the king was even more incensed. Liktu namali adeli yamina. And he said he ordered that Yisachar's right hand be cut off as well. See, Yisachar ends up, so it says, as a result of his incredible gaiva, Yisachar Nebuch ends up losing both of his hands. Rav Yosef, Baruch Rachmana Deshakli Li Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkoi Lemitrafise. So ultimately, again, so apparently the rabbis didn't. Rav Yosef did not hold Yisachar in very high regard. He said, Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisachar what was coming to him. Amar Avashi, v'lo habitanele. So we'll say, did he not learn the following halacha? Let's just finish up. Disnan, kvasim kodmin le'izim b'chol makom, yakom ipnei shemufcharin, tamu lomar v'im keves, malam yishishnein shkulin ka'achos. So we'll say, ultimately, again, you see from here, obviously Yisachar didn't pay attention during Shir. He didn't pay attention during Shir, because had he paid attention during Shir in the last daf of Maseches Krisus, he would have learned the last Mishnah that said that what? Kvasim and Izim are the same. No one is better than the other. And Rabbi say, remember, that should have been the answer that Yisachar could have given. Because then what? He would have made the king happy, he would have made the queen happy, and he would have kept both of his hands. I don't need to say anything more about paying attention during Shir, right? Coming on time, listening. It pays all kinds of dividends, things that you don't even realize. So as I said, the Gemara says, not only did he not learn the Mishnah, but ultimately, afilu mikra nami lo kar dechsev im kesef im eiz. We'll say the truth is, not only did he not know the Mishnah, he didn't pay attention to the Pasuk, because the Pasuk itself at certain intervals also switches up the order. The Daf could teach us that both are superior. Amar Rav Elazar Michanina, we'll say we'll finish the Masechta. Amar Rav Elazar Michanina, we'll say this is one of the Masechtos that ends with this refrain, such a beautiful statement. Tamidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. Tamidei Chachamim, Torah scholars increase Shalom in the world. Shene'emar, V'chol Banayich Limudei Hashem, V'rav Shalom Banayich. All of your children, right, are taught, are educated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or well versed in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'rav Shalom Banayich. Your children intensify peace. Afikrei Banayich. Don't read it as your sons, rather read it as your builders. We'll say, we'll build on this. We'll talk about this last phrase in Mirat Hashem whenever we're able to schedule our siyum. And we'll say, in Mazel Tov, on finishing Maseches Krisos, tomorrow we begin Maseches Me'ilah. And I will say, again, brand new opportunity, brand new Masechtos. These are hard Masechtos. These are Kachim Masechtos. The road ahead is filled with incredible excitement, but also incredible Avodah. Well, it's a time to recommit. Come to Shir on time. Maximize. If learning in the morning is your kviyasitim, if you're just auditing Daf Yomi, but you have your real learning at night, I will never bother you. But if this is your kviyasitim, if this is your time to learn, then do it. If you're going to do it, then take it seriously. If you're going to do it, then commit to it. If you're going to do it, then get here on time and maximize the 1 hour that we have every single morning to learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. We're seeing Masechtos that, to be honest, on our own, no one has ever said, you know what? I don't know, I'm thinking about what I should learn. What do you think about Krisos, right? What do you think about Krisos? How does Me'ilah sound to you? No one ever does that. I shouldn't say no one. There are some people who do that, right? But I will say, guys like us don't usually do that. And here, thanks to the Lublin Rav and Daf Yomi, we're getting to see these Masechtos that the Lublin Rav called the orphaned Masechtos. He called these the orphaned Masechtos. And I will say, we have the schus to go ahead and wipe the tears of the orphaned Masechtos and say, we're here. We're learning you. We're spending time with you. Both say it's an incredible schos. The limud is sometimes challenging. I apologize because many times we have to blow through a lot of these dapim. The me'ila dapim are much shorter. So we'll catch our breath. We'll get through them. We're like a support group. It's difficult, but we're here for each other. We hold one another. We learn together. And both say, this is the great schos. So I would urge you, getting up early in the morning is not easy. For any of us. There's not one person here, I guarantee you, just jumps out of bed, including myself, in the morning. But again, what a privilege we have. We should be zochei mi'aretz Hashem to begin Me'ilah Shtark tomorrow, to finish Me'ilah Shtark tomorrow, to continue our journeys through Shas, to repeat the cycle over and over and over, and to bask in the beautiful simcha, in the beautiful glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah together until 120.